From Pacifica Radio, KPFT 90.1 Houston, this is Open Journal in Exile. Open Journal is the Houston community magazine of the airwaves. Join us as Duane Bradley and Stephanie Coleman explore the wonder that is the Petro Metro and the people who make it happen. And now from our temporary, socially distanced, alternative studios in exile, somewhere in the greater Houston area, this is Open Journal in Exile. Let the conversation begin.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome aboard. You are tuned in to Open Journal in Exile. It's Monday, the 19th of October, 2020. Thank you for joining us. Thanks for your support. I'm Duane Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. This week, we'll be visiting with our friends from InFront Houston, Rich Levy and Krupa Parikh. We always love to hear your opinions, thoughts, and suggestions. You can reach us via Twitter with the hashtag KPFTOJ or Facebook Open Journal. For those who still enjoy old school email, openjournal@kpft.org. We'd love to enjoy this conversation again and again, so subscribe to our podcast, KPFTOJ.
Mm-hmm. Hey, and you know, this is also our second dip into the pool for KPFT's fall drive. We'll talk to you more about that through the duration of this hour, but our goal is to raise several hundred dollars. Eight would be wonderful, and the station could sure use it. The phone number is 713-526-5738. That's 526-KPFT, 713-JAM-KPFT, if that helps you remember. Take your time. Maybe during the song of the week that's coming up, and call in a donation. It is tax deductible, quick, easy, and painless, and all those good things. We'll talk to you more about that here in, you know, the course of this upcoming hour during our visit with Rich and Krupa from InFront. We also wanted to touch on a couple of topics before we dive into our conversation with our InFront Houston guests. A couple of topics that came to mind for me, Stephanie. Early voting started last Tuesday.
Yeah.
I have plans to go to an undisclosed location tomorrow. I figured a weekend, you know, the wave may be subsiding a little bit from those, you know, overly peaked first few days. I know where to go check times and length of stand in line, but I want to take care of that business and feel like I've done my part. I'm old school in that I almost always go live to the voting precinct two blocks from my house. I know the people. I feel comfortable there. I enjoy checking in with them. Well, I can still do all that. I just will have already voted.
Right.
I'll see what kind of donuts they have. And, how bad their coffee is, and that whole thing. I'll check in on it. But early voting, epic numbers already have voted in this election. And I think that means good things for the state of our representative democracy in America, in Harris County, in Houston.
I agree. I tried to be a part of that historic number, and I went on the 15th just to make sure that I am counted. I tried a new location myself to support that they are doing well. And I think I might do like you and just go visiting and shopping around and chatting around as election day grows nearer.
Well, you know, a certain candidate whose name I don't like to use recommended that his acolytes go and poll watch in a semi-belligerent, almost suppressive type of manner.
Wow.
That's not really my style, but I will go to my local precinct and just visit. I like to go a couple times and just see how the numbers are shaping up, because they do have to write on the entrance at certain, you know, demarcated points through the day how many folks have passed through. And, you know, if it's a high number, that's also another good sign. So good to all of you who have been through the mill thus far. If you want to share a voting story with us, you know, drop us a line through the socials.
Yeah.
You know, another cool topic here, as the weather has also cooled, which is wonderful. But was the ongoing COVID White House drama, which is seemingly ceaseless.
Right.
And then on top of all of that drama, we were subjected to dueling debates the other night. I actually elected to watch something much more uplifting, which turned out to be that walk-off home run from Carlos Correa. and so I watched the Astros win, and then I went back and I watched the two different non-debates, town halls, that I had recorded and kind of, you know, made notes on each of them. I came away more convinced than ever that Joe Biden is a very empathetic human being who has a lot of knowledge that he's still carrying around in that, you know, relatively elderly noggin compared to the other guy, who seemed to be just as contentious as ever in his hour. I was thankful that the Biden episode ran 90 minutes, and then there was a little analysis where the other guy's was a 60-minute cap on that, and I was very thankful that it was capped at 60 minutes because there were several levels of irritation to me. How about you, Stephanie? Did you check the experience?
Yes. I think the one thing that, regardless of what side you're on, I'd hate to see that our presidential process has turned into like a talent show, beauty pageant of sorts, that we're looking for ratings and fan favorites, and we're not talking about topics that are really transformative for our country for the long term.
Yeah.
So I did have my own, but I'm not quite sure how I'm feeling about how we're managing government and how we're selecting our leadership, and, you know, and do they need to play an instrument? When are we really going to talk about how we sustain, you know, sort of prosperity over the years? And so, yes, I did see some. I have my sort of own opinions that I guess we all put in the voting booth, but I do think our process needs to be rethought.
Well, and I just do want to thank the debate commissions for eliminating the swimsuit portion of that program. Thank God.
It's great.
Yeah.
I do second that. I'll sign that petition. Keep that up.
All right. So how is the world of getting better together as we here in the greater Houston area, working through the City of Houston Health Department and the mayor's office, working through our COVID response and outreach efforts to move forward, get better, do it together, masking up, washing up, distancing, getting tested. What's your latest take on there?
Well, I think that's one of the things, you know, as always, just commending the Houston Health Department and the City of Houston and the leadership of Mayor Turner for really coming together as a united effort. Most importantly, our listeners and the residents of Houston, that we are, you know, we can always do better. But I think in places where we're seeing spikes, that Houston is not going through some of the things that are happening across the country. If we can just stay mindful of our better together, I think we'll be great. I think we'll be getting better, and not have that a political line, because lives are at stake. So So you know, we'll stay with it. We'll keep you updated. Of course, it's flu season. It's vaccine time. That those things are not just about going to school, but that vaccines are very important, and to be mindful of that as we get into this winter weather, and just keeping Houston safe.
Indeed. You are tuned to Open Journal in Exile Edition on the Mighty 90 Pacifica Radio, KPFT in Houston. We thank you for tuning in. Thank you for joining us. Thanks to those of you who supported us over the many years. We're in the 51st year of operating this community-based radio resource. Mark Lockhart, I want to thank you specifically because you actually donated last week during our first request. And thanks for stepping up to the plate and making the call that makes it all possible. That's at 713-526-5738, 526-KPFT. We appreciate that. You give us the freedom to have this radio station and broadcast that 100,000 watts of stereophonic freedom. So appreciate it, Mark. And thanks to those of you who are going to join Mark today as well. And know that it's important, each and every one of us doing our fair share. Again, thanks for tuning in and joining us. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. Since its beginnings in 1983, when Imprint was founded by a group of community leaders who sought to address a need in Houston for greater support and appreciation of the literary arts, Imprint Houston has nurtured a vibrant literary life in Houston among diverse social, racial, economic, and age groups. Our recidivist friends, Rich Levy, executive director, and Cooper Parikh, director of communications and community relations, are with us once again to tell us what's going on over there at the Imprint House and in the literary scene in and around H-Town. As always, thank you for joining us and welcome back to Open Journal in Exile.
Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you for that nice introduction. It's good to actually see you guys a little bit here, you know?
It is.
And hear you. Lovely. And maybe someday we'll be back in the beautiful mansion on,
Lovett Boulevard.
Lovett Boulevard.
That's love with two T's, my
friend. How can we not love it? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we thank you, Rich and Krupa, for joining us. And, you know, just to kind of, before we get into all the goings on with Imprint and this new season and all the programs that are being offered and what you're doing with that and all, I'd like to just on a personal level check in with you both and find out, Krupa, maybe you can jump in first here. How are you dealing with life during COVID times? How's it treating you and how you taking care of yourself?
It's been crazy. But, you know, like everybody else, you just take it one day at a time. In the beginning, I think we all thought this was going to be over by June and life would return to normal. And I think now we're realizing this is going to be with us for a long time. And, you know, there are times that are harder, but then you remember that compared to what others have gone through, losing loved ones, getting sick, you know, all things considered, I feel really grateful for where I am. So, yeah. And, you know, every once in a while, you just stop what you're doing. And Rich told me earlier today, he's like, watch a movie, you know, because I keep saying I don't have time. So maybe I'll take his advice and watch a movie. So.
All right. Well, Rich, how about you? Same question, you know, how are you dealing with life these days?
I appreciate that. Well, one thing I'm really grateful for is my bicycle. Because I think there are times when you just need to feel like you can sort of engage in the illusion of freedom. And if you get on a bike and tool around town, you can kind of simulate that feeling. And it's pretty sweet, you know, especially if working up a good sweat, seeing some birds on the bayou and just going for a ride, you know, avoiding getting hit by cars. That's always a good thing.
Do you wear a mask while you're on a bike, or does that count as exercise so you keep it off? Do you have one handy?
I think it counts. I always have it in my pocket in case disaster strikes and I have to jump off my bike suddenly. But, no, it's, you know, a movie that I told the group to watch is The Octopus Teacher. If you all haven't seen it, you've got to see it. It's about the relationship between a South African diver and this amazing octopus that he gets to know. And that's the whole 80 minutes is just octopus and diver, beautiful underwater photography. You will just feel happier than you've felt in a long time, I guarantee it. And you will have a new respect for octopi. Totally, yeah.
Is this movie beautiful. In it's English or is it in octopus?
No, it's in English. It's in English. Yeah, well, the octopus speaks in her own language, but, you know, we will never know.
Mm-hmm.
No, anyway, it's a tough time. It really is. It's been hard. We have friends who've lost family members, and heart goes out to them, I just think people need to take it seriously and do what they're supposed to do, and I'll get through this as quickly as possible. You know, everyone would just toe the line.
I know. Right. Last week we had Rob Mungall, local comedian, on. You know, comic, founder of this group Whiskey Brothers, and he's been around for quite a while on the comic scene, and we're at this point where we've been feeling this need to laugh because we got to not scream or cry so much, even though that's kind of the modus operandi a lot of times with what's going on with our world, sadly. And, mm-hmm. and that helps a lot. So mm-hmm. I think a comedy movie would be helpful too.
Make
you laugh.
Yeah.
Well, the octopus will make you smile, I guarantee.
I'll look it up, Rich. Okay.
So that'll be on the first to do. Just thinking of all the amazing things Infant Houston has done to help us also, through the arts, reconnect with those things that help us feel better, do better, question more, enjoy each other, think of things that we may not have experienced. What is the Imprint Virtual Studio? Where does that live in that process?
Yeah, thank you for asking that question. No, we are, you know, this is the 40th anniversary, 40 years of the Imprint Margaret Root Brown Reading Series. I've been doing them for 25 of those years. And, you know, we wanted it to be a special year. And we were both kind of not terribly happy with Zoom and Crowdcast and the things we saw back in March and early April. It just looked clunky and informal. It didn't make the occasion special enough. You know, if you've got a really fantastic writer, you somehow have to, I don't know, dignify the occasion, make it something that says this is worth attending to and of high enough quality that people want to tune in, and it's a pleasure. Mm-hmm. And so we, very lucky for us, a couple of producers, TV producers from the public TV station here, got in touch with us and said, we're doing something on our own. And they've started their own company. And we are working with them to create the virtual studio.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, instead of going through a third-party platform, you just, the writers, the interviewer, we all connect through the producer's computers and software. And so it isn't going away and getting reprocessed and coming back. It's a much more direct connection. So the picture is more detail, the sound is better. It's just overall, I mean, as long as everybody has a good connection, you know, things happen sometimes. I think the New Yorker Festival had to take a 20-minute break when they were interviewing Margaret Atwood because somebody lost connection. So you know, it happens to all of us. But, you know, we're happy with it. So we're using it for the 40th anniversary season of the reading series and for Cool Brains, which is our kids series for middle
school. So Cool Brains is coming back soon, right?
It's already back.
Yeah,
it's
already back.
Krupa, tell them about
how cool is that?
Yeah.
It's very cool. Yeah. So we had an event last Sunday with Lois Lowry, who, as many of you know, she wrote the book The Giver and like The Giver Quartet, Number of the Stars. One of the great things about Cool Brains is it's a reading series for middle graders. And when we do these in person, we give free books to the first 100 families that show up. We offer bus scholarships to school groups so that they can come to the event, you know, and we make them really dynamic events. And we were trying to figure
out. And they're free
on a Sunday afternoon. And we were trying to figure out, how do we do that, keep up that same momentum, that same energy for a virtual event? And how do we make it so that the kids feel like they get to connect with the author? I've seen a lot of online events featuring kids authors, and it's usually an adult interviewing another adult. And if I were a kid, even as an adult, actually, that is not interesting to me. So what we did is we got kids to send us 10-second videos of themselves asking Lois Lowry a question. So a big part of this Cool Brains event was us, you know, having her respond to these 20 video questions. It was really sweet. And there were kids from all over the city, all ages, all backgrounds, that had a question for Lois Lowry. And it really emphasizes how children's literature is beautiful in its ability to kind of surpass these boundaries that we sometimes as adults have.
Mm-hmm. You're tuned to Pacifica Radio in Houston. This is Open Journal, an In Exile special edition. We're visiting with Rich Levy and Krupa Parikh from InPrint Houston, and we thank you out there in Radio Land for tuning in and joining us for this conversation. Thank you for your support as well. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. InPrint Houston, your sort of innovative spirit is really exciting to see. And it didn't just sort of happen through COVID, but you've always sort of been open to evolving and creating, you know, new things. If we go to your classic Margaret Ruth Brown Read series, which is going to return in this new COVID world experience, beyond Jones Hall as a location or just in general, what are some more details that you can explain to the individuals who may not have experienced the series, or what it will be like post-COVID, or in a less COVID world, whatever that is?
I appreciate the question. Well, you know, for the COVID world, we put together for this 40th anniversary season a great roster of writers. You know, Yah Jesse, Marilyn Robinson, Julia Alvarez, Sigrid Nunez, Nick Hornby, Margaret Atwood, Lily King, Chiang Rai Lee, Viet Thanh Nguyen, Jericho Brown. I mean, these are some of the top writers in the world right now. We had one woman, and it started in September. So we've already been using the virtual studio and keeping it going. Yah Jesse started the season off. She is a writer originally from Ghana whose parents brought the family over to the U.S. She grew up in Huntsville, Alabama. And this new novel of hers is set in Huntsville. Her first novel was called Homegoing, which was a huge success, about 300 years of history and two Ghanaian families, one of whom comes over to the U.S. as immigrants eventually, and one comes over through slavery. And they connect in the end. It's a very powerful story. Her new book is fantastic too, Transcendent Kingdom. Oh, and I should say, each reading, okay, you asked me to describe. it's a reading by these writers, these wonderful writers, from new work of theirs. They can talk about it, read a little bit from it. That's for about 7 to 10 minutes. Then there's about a 30 to 40 minute conversation with an interviewer about the work and about all sorts of other things too. The person who interviewed Yah Jesse was a writer named Wayetu Moore, who her family came from Liberia, escaping the Civil War in Liberia. After, you know, all over the US, they ended up in Houston, and she grew up here. And now she's in New York, Yah's in New York, so they were talking, you know, from their separate homes through the studio. Marilyn Robinson had a conversation from Saratoga Springs in New York with a writer in California. Julia and Sigrid spoke with a writer here, Jasmine Mendez. You know, we got a note from a person who tuned in to the Marilyn Robinson event, in Australia. She wrote to us about a half hour after it was over to say, guys, that was fantastic. I had my friend gave me the Marilynne Robinson reading as a gift, and I just loved it, you know. Usually our tariff for these events is very low. I know I can't say the price on the air, but it's super
microscopic.
Modest. Yeah, it hasn't changed since 1980. It's the same as it was in 1980 to go to a reading.
Wow.
And yeah, and we've worked hard to do that. We get a lot of grants, and we also sell season tickets. And that these wonderful folks in the community who love literature, love good writing, love good, you know, ideas that provoke them and inspire them. Typically, a season ticket would include, you know, seating in the front of the theater, and not just Jones Hall, but also at the university. Actually, we're only at Jones Hall once, but the Alley Theater, the universities, the Wortham Center, you know, we're all over town. We'll be back all over town too. But the season ticket this year, since it can't include free parking and seating in the front and all that, includes lots of books. You know, so if you get a standard subscription, you're getting 5 free books shipped to you. And if you get the premium 40th anniversary season subscription, you get all 10 books by all 10 authors. And we try to get signed book plates whenever we can, and they're shipped to you. So that helps keep it going. And you're paying a little bit more than the cost of the books, but not that much. And you get access to this wonderful series. So. Yeah.
Well, we have a lot more questions we want to pose to the two of you, but you know, it's about midway through this edition of KPFT's Open Journal in Exile. In the midpoint of the program, we like to share a local artist, a song of the week to kind of entertain. Oftentimes we have two guests with two different whole trains of thought, either, you know, culture and politics or this and that, but you know, this is a special edition. Y'all are special folks. So special indeed that, Rich, I asked you to collaborate. One of my, you know, being an old DJ from the 70s kind of mode is I get to pick a whole song out each week.
Well, thanks for sharing, Duane.
I'm sharing that with you. And
you are a good soul.
We have collaborated on this choice for the Open Journal Song of the Week, and I think it's a classic choice. And I just want to say this, and I'll let you actually introduce the song formally, but while we're engaged in the tune, dear listener friend, you could actually call that phone number. We've mentioned it a few times. It's 713-526-5738. It's JAM-KPFT or 526-KPFT, 713-526-KPFT. The folks on the end of the line will take you through the transformation process from listener, which you are obviously right now, to listener sponsor and member of this radio collaboration in media democracy. And anything you could share, you can put it on a Visa, Discover, American Express, or MasterCard. Quick, easy, and painless. You need a hoodie now that the weather's cooling off. They can take you through that process. You want the special KPFT 50th anniversary t-shirt or mug or some recordings from our 50th anniversary party back in the early spring. We can get you copies of all those if you wish. Any of those kinds of special mementos are available. But greatest gift, though, that we ever gave you is the one you found when you got on the Mighty 90 for the first time and found something worth listening to. So thanks for doing that. Thanks for considering it. And thanks again to those of you who've already made that transformation. But as I said, you're going to have about a 6-minute break here for a great tune that we wanted to share. Rich picked this out. You know, we've known each other a while. Rich is kind of a jazz aficionado. And we will continue our conversation with Rich and with Krupa after this. But it is time for that song. You want to reveal your choice, Rich?
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. It's Jitterbug Waltz, performed by Jason Moran. This is a classic tune by Fats Waller, which Jason updates beautifully. Jason is, of course, a certified genius, MacArthur Fellow, and a wonderful human being. and a Houstonian, third resident, former and forever of Third Ward, son of the Morans, and he is he's one of our heroes. And
PVA graduate. We always like, you know, for local folks to PVA. Find out what high school they went to.
You bet.
One of Stephanie's schoolmates. They went. Yeah. They were in class together.
Yeah, small world. It's a small world. That.
Well, Jason, it's a big old small town here.
Yeah. No, he's great. And I just have to say one more thing about Jitterbug Waltz. I love this song. And my father had the 78. You know, he's a son of Brooklyn. And he and my mom had an apartment, and he really wanted this. He loved this 78 of Fats Waller playing Jitterbug Waltz on the pipe organ. And my mother accidentally sat on it. And then
those days,
78s were made of shellac, so they just crumbled, you know. And it was an issue for a little while, from what I understand. But anyway, Fats Waller.
Okay,
and
so
Jason Moran channeling Fats Waller.
Yeah, and this rendition by Jason comes from the 2014 album All Rise, a joyful elegy for Fats Waller. Jitterbug Waltz is the Open Journal Song of the Week.
Thank you.
That was Jitterbug Waltz by Houston's own Jason Moran. It is the Open Journal Song of the Week, and I thank Rich Levy for picking that out and collaborating with me on the Song of the Week this week. You want to suggest a local tune or artist, reach out to us through the socials or old school us an email, openjournal@kpft.org. We thank you for joining us, and thank you for your support. That phone number again, 713-526-5738-526-KPFT. We're back live on tape with Rich Levy and Krupa Parikh from InPrint Houston. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. It's so wonderful just to see, not only was our Song of the Week a wonderful song and a wonderful artist, which is always, you know, your donation means so much, because not only did it allow this station to still be standing, but it allows that diversity in generations to bring back the generations before them. And I would have never thought that on this call would have been such a synergy of individuals and our listeners and the music and InPrint Houston, just, you know, commending you for being so eclectic and dynamic and celebrating the arts in Houston and keeping them alive. And we do hope our listeners not only, you know, pledge, of course, to keep this opportunity, but to support InPrint Houston.
Yeah. So, thank you, Stephanie. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thank you.
We've got a wonderful and really important, I think, special event coming up on October 26th. And it is
a week from tonight. So, yeah, because you tend to do Monday evening programs.
Yeah, exactly. We like Mondays. I mean, actually, Nick Hornby's going to be on a Sunday because he's going to be in London.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're giving him a break. He's at four in the afternoon, our time, 10 p.m. his time. But, and then Margaret Atwood's going to be a Saturday night because she's Margaret Atwood and she gets to be when she wants to be. But,
of course.
But next Monday night, we're totally and absolutely excited to be partnering with the Houston Museum of African American Culture to present a writer whom we greatly admire named Britt Bennett, who wrote a book called The Vanishing Half. It's her second novel. It is a book that really touches on a lot of the issues that are perplexing us now about race and identity. And, you know, it's the story of twin sisters from Louisiana, who one of whom is dark-skinned, one of whom is light-skinned. And the light-skinned sister passes for white. And the story proceeds from there. And in the process, it covers a lot of ground that is very, very relevant to what's going on. The book has been on the New York Times bestseller list since it came out in early June. It's a really vital and important book. And she's going to be in conversation with Melanie Lawson.
Oh, Melanie's great. Yeah.
She is. Mm-hmm. Melanie's one of our heroes, too. So it's fantastic. Yeah. Yeah, we're very excited. And it's free tickets. Go to our website and join us. Yeah, that'd be great.
InPrintHouston.org. You can access their website, access all the different programs. You also have archives of some of the visitors from the past as well. That's pretty cool.
Cool Brains and reading series. And,
yes.
And we have workshops too. I guess we should talk about those a bit if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested in the senior memoir.
Which are still going.
Because I qualify for both. I've got memoirs, and I'm now a senior.
There you go. We like it. Join us. No, they're going. Krupa, talk about the workshops.
Yeah. So, you know, in about, I think, April, we moved all our writing workshops online, something we had never done before. And it actually has been a wonderful experience. Our workshops now run 6 weeks, meeting an hour and a half per week online. And it's still a small group of 12 people. You meet with the writers and you work on writing activities in class. You workshop your pieces. It's a great way to either work at a piece that you're kind of grappling with, or it's a great way to explore writing for the first time if you've never done it before. And I think a lot of people often get intimidated by the idea of writing. They feel like, oh, I'm not a writer. But I think you'll be pleasantly surprised at how gratifying an experience it can be, and how when you sit down to write, it's actually a time of reflection in some ways. And it doesn't matter whether you're interested in writing fiction or poetry or creative nonfiction, personal essay, memoir. It's all a great way to channel the thoughts that are in your head into something, and crafting them into pieces that you can share or keep to yourself. And we really focus on getting writers that are good instructors. A lot of our writers that lead these workshops have been published. All of them have been published, and they've taught before. So this is a really great time to explore taking the writing workshop if you've never done that. And I think even once the pandemic is over, we're going to continue online workshops. Of course, adding back the in-person ones. Mm-hmm. But we've gotten a lot of great feedback on how accessible they are, on how it doesn't matter whether you live an hour away from Houston or whether you have kids at home, you can still take these workshops.
You know, and you're right. Like, I think for those who've embraced the pivot, as people are saying, or sort of changing or riding this experience, it has opened up an entire new demographic that may have always wanted to participate, but through traffic, or which Houston is a traffic city, has had that as a barrier. But you, Imprint Houston, doesn't seem like, not only does it seem like you haven't missed a beat, it seems like you're adding even more programs and initiatives. But what are some of the sort of benefits that you've seen from the pandemic and this new virtual life? And what are some of the things that you miss?
You know, one of the things that we do notice, and like we sort of touched on it, but we do a lot of community workshops that are low cost and free. And I think we'd like to add more. We did extra workshops for K through 12 educators that we always do, but we added another session this summer because we're finding that people really need an outlet in some way, and these workshops can sometimes provide that. So I think what we'd like to do is add more community workshops. And I think the fact that they are online in some ways, like we said, it makes it more accessible, not necessarily just in terms of physical access, but if you are intimidated, if you're a little nervous, somehow taking the class online feels less scary.
I have to say, though, that another thing that happens in these workshops is a tremendous bond grows up between the people who are in the workshop.
Like each cohort.
Yeah, each cohort. When you're sharing, you know, something sometimes that are pretty hard to say, maybe not so hard to say, but, you know, they're somehow close to you. You identify with them, whether their stories, poems, memoirs in particular are close to the bone. But, you know, you learn to trust each other and have faith in each other and really get to know each other and sometimes get to like each other. And occasionally workshops keep going outside of the context of our workshops. They just, writing groups are formed this way.
Wow.
We've had groups, the senior memoir workshops. We've been in about a dozen locations around the city. Right now we're working at the Jewish Community Center. We hope to get going again at Finnegan Park in the Fifth Ward. But, you know, for example, we've been at Finnegan Park for 17 years. And we've had some seniors been in those workshops almost the whole time. And new ones come in all the time. But it's a great thing. And, you know, they get to celebrate each year and give a group reading. We do the Finnegan reading, for example, in the lobby of the Ensemble Theater. Everybody gets a copy of the anthology, everybody, you know, all the participants in the class, and a couple copies that they can share with family. And it's a great occasion for them to be celebrated, you know?
And I think the other thing, like Rick said about bond, you know, when we're having the social distance, Yes, we're still meeting our friends online. We're meeting them outside. We're doing things like that. But meeting strangers in a way that's intellectually challenging, that is hard in this time. And what we're finding is these workshops, you get that. We also have our book club that's meeting online. And again, you know, you get to talk about something in common that you've shared with someone that may not be someone you know. And when we function in the way that we're functioning, that is something that we're seeing is a real great thing about our ability to offer these online experiences.
Mm-hmm. We can't be in the Harris County Jail right now. We love those workshops. No. We've taught those for 3 years and to men and women in the jail. We work with the folks right in the tanks, and those are really powerful experiences for the participants and the teachers both. Okay. And sadly enough, you know, because the jail is in lockdown, we can't get back in there. But we're getting most of the community workshops going again. We're doing things in the Texas Medical Center for healthcare professionals and hospital staff who are under a lot of stress. We're trying to reach them in innovative ways, you know, and give them creative writing prompts and starting some online workshops like with Ben Taub and Harris Health employees. And, you know, it's just, it's a limiting time in some ways, but if you are determined, there are ways, there are workarounds, you know.
Mm-hmm. We're visiting with Krupa Parikh and Rich Levy from InPrint Houston. You are tuned to Open Journal in Exile, a special edition here on KPFT Pacifica Radio, right here in the heart of Houston, Texas. We thank you for joining us and thank you for tuning in. Thank those of you who support this radio station with your conscious contributions to the cause of communication. 713-526-5738, 713-526-KPFT, if you'd like to contribute. It's a great opportunity to support freedom of speech and access to information and art and culture. It's available really only through outlets like KPFT here in this part of the world. And there's a handful of us around the country. Thanks for being one of the few, the proud, the brave, the mighty 90, the Pacificans. I'm Dwayne Bradley.
And I'm Stephanie Coleman. So excited to be with you, Pacificans, as Dwayne described. But there's always a room to invent a word as we sit here with InPrint Houston. And just excited how you guys have evolved to the need and been in tune with the growing need of a city. And as big as Houston is, you seem to have really sort of tapped into some of the universal humanity needs of expression in very diverse segments of the population. Before COVID or through this social isolation, are there any programs that you've dreamed of that have not been realized or that you would just hope someday would come to fruition?
We have a lot of them.
I think, you know, in many ways, InPrint was founded because our founders wanted to find a way to support students in the University of Houston Creative Writing Program. And now, all these years later, we provide fellowships, prizes, employment to the students in the creative writing program. That's just one part of many things we do, but we do that. And as a result of that, Houston has become such a dynamic city in terms of creative writing and reading and opportunities. And so many of the students that we have supported are now the ones that you'll see out in the city doing things, and you'll see them publishing books nationwide. One of the things that has been on our mind for a while has been to find a way to support the students in what is now the Spanish PhD creative writing program at U of H. It's part of the Spanish department, and it's a concentration in creative writing at the PhD level, and it's the only program of its kind in the nation. And the director of that program, Christina Rivera Garza, just won a MacArthur.
But yes. It's been on our mind. Hooray.
It's been on our mind to find a way to support those students, because as we know, Houston is a large Spanish-speaking community, and if we can support those students, we're just like in awe of what the city can be, you know, 10 years from now, if those students are also able to have the same opportunities as the students in the regular creative writing program. So this year, for the first time, we were able to award a fellowship. It's a small fellowship, but an international fellowship to one of those students. And we're so excited about that. And we feel like it's a first step in a larger, hopefully a larger way we can support those students. They're brilliant, they're lively, they're dynamic, and they're doing really great work. And so to me, that's one of the things that I think we want to see happen more, but we're happy that we're doing it little by little. So
sounds like Houston to me. Mm-hmm. You know, we are the prophetic city, as Dr. Steven Kleinberg says. Mm-hmm. So, Rich Levy, not only are you the ED there over at the global headquarters of InPrint Houston, but you also have an interest in poetry. And I was going to see if you'd grace us with a little bit of work.
Thank you, Duane, for asking. Shameless. Shamelessly happy. You know, I talked about bicycle riding. And, you know, as a person who's been tooling around in cities on bikes since I was a little kid, I of course, had to write a poem about what it was like to be a bike rider. And this is a poem called The Rider. It takes a little bit of a surreal point of view. The rider, the rider. The street is blank in midday, but for the scribble of a man on a bicycle who cannot seem to cool off and unpeels his red helmet and flings it down and yellow shirt and tosses it aside and one shoe and then the other and flips them away and by some miracle while in motion slips off his shorts and socks, gone, then races naked through the hard streets, an unironic light, and with a kind of studied grace, slips off his skin, head first, down the sleeve of one arm and then the other, and shimmies it past his torso, over his seat, and in a balletic move, slides the whole floppy leotard of epidermis over one foot and the other, and chucks it for some city worker or child to find, and pedals past the edge of the city, heaving his kidney humorless filter into the bushes, unfillable cup of stomach in a ditch, the twin sacks of lung deflated and blue in a cross street. And now the road, which is his text, winds through the man's erasures, itchy for closure, but it goes on, brittle corn stalks scratching each other in a dry breeze, the air parting in a bike-sized wake that snaps shut behind him and touches almost nothing because there's not much left to touch.
Wow. The leotard of epidermis. I love it, Rich.
I knew you as the master of the phrase would be.
Oh, that's great. Well, I think we've mentioned this earlier, but folks can access all of the information about the upcoming visits, the opportunities for workshops, the Root Brown reading series, and all through inprinthouston.org. It's a very well put together website and easy to forage around in there for some of the nuggets of greatness that are available. I want to thank both of you for sharing some time and for what you do for the city and for the cultural upliftment of this Petro Metro.
Well, thank you for having us. This is so great to talk to you both. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, Duane.
Thank you so much. It's very kind of you.
We look forward to seeing you soon and sharing some of these Zoom world experiences in this new virtual imprint, but also the real thing soon come, good Lord willing, and all of that. Sadly, but truly, it is time to wrap this edition of Open Journal. I'm Dwayne Bradley. I want to thank you for tuning in and supporting us. That phone number, which we've given out a number of times, and I hope a couple of you have availed yourself of the opportunity to make a donation that allows us the freedom to even be here with you, 713-526-5738 or 526-KPFT. Stephanie, a closing thought?
Well, I'm just, you know, always grateful for the volunteers that keep KPFT open and the donations that support us, even if we are in exile. Conversations such as this do happen, you know, one donation at a time, $1 at a time. It's never too little, and it's definitely never too much. As we try and see what Houston will be like post-pandemic, please let's work together to make sure KPFT is still here and still standing.
Yes. Please.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm Dwayne Bradley. I want to thank you for being with us on this special edition of Open Journal again. We couldn't do it without your help, and we are a dedicated all-volunteer production team here on the Open Journal program, including Ramblin' Rick Campbell, Susan Phillips, and Maverick, along with yours truly and Stephanie. The Open Journal theme music is provided by Kevin MacLeod, and we invite you to join us next week for more great conversation. Good Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. Thanks for your support. 713-526-KPFT, 526-5738. We always close the program with a thought to carry you on through the week. It comes to us from John Lennon and Yoko Ono, who said, "You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. We hope someday you will join us and the world will be as one." Take care of each other.